Good evening. This is an interview for the Michigan Writer Series, Friday, November 4th, 2005. Tonight, I am talking with poet and author Jack Driscoll, currently writer in residence at Interlochen Center for the Arts in Northern Michigan. Welcome, Mr. Driscoll.
Thank you.
How did you first get started writing?
Well, when I was young, I'm talking very young, the dramatic things that were happening in my life were happening internally.
Okay.
It was like these little powder kegs that were going off. And I was wondering, even then, though I couldn't have articulated it then, whether or not there was a language by which somebody might speak these feelings. And apparently there wasn't, because there was nobody I knew in my life who was speaking this language. My parents certainly weren't, and the parents of my friends
right.
weren't, nor my friends or my family, and not my teachers. And the questions started coming up about, whether or not this was something I shouldn't be thinking about, whether these were feelings I shouldn't be having,
right.
whether I was the only one, whether this was aberrant thinking or feeling or behavior. But I knew then, when I was very little, though I couldn't have put it in words, I knew that there was something happening inside of me. And, now I can talk about these things as feelings. And I just wanted to find some medium by which I could give voice to these feelings. So, I think this goes back to probably when I was, 8 or 9 years old.
Wow. And you started writing things on your own then?
Well, I started doodling then, and mostly in rhyme and nothing I would call a poem or nothing that had any kind of shape or proportion, nothing that I would think of now in retrospect as something composed, but just words to see if I could, in some way make contact with these, these feelings that I just mentioned.
Right. So was it difficult then to get published for the first time? And how did you go about doing that?
No, it wasn't. It was almost accidental. I never, there's nothing in my DNA that should even now, and certainly then, have led me to believe that writing would have been an option in my adult life. I come from a business family. My mother had her own business. My father had his own business. And it was a non-literary family. They were not readers. And so it was when I finally sent out my first poem and it was taken, I was astounded by that. It was just something I did. I was serious about what I was doing, but I couldn't have imagined back then that anybody would have been interested in anything that I had to say. And every success I've had, I'll be 60 years old in March, and I'm still surprised by every one of my successes. I've just never gotten over that.
That's amazing. Who are your biggest influences in writing, and what writers do you enjoy reading the most?
Yeah, well, everybody is influenced by somebody. I think even Hemingway. Nobody has done it independently. Everybody has had a mentor, teacher of some sort. And my first break came when I was an undergraduate and studied with John Irving.
Oh,
and he, at the time, wasn't much older than I was, and his first book, Setting Free the Bears, had just come out. And so nobody knew to what heights he would rise.
Right.
He was just, he's a teacher. He was a guy I ran into. But he was the first one who spoke to me in a way that made me believe that writing in my adult life might be an option. And I ended up taking a number of classes with him, as well as independent studies. And we would sit around and just talk about writing in a way that had never entered my life before. He was the first one who could ever talk to me about this. So I would have to identify him as the single most influential person, because he made possible for me the notion of a writing life.
Thank you. You talked about your early writings, and I know that you began by writing mostly poetry, but you've kind of moved on and written short stories now and novels. Do you prefer one genre over another, or which one do you find more challenging?
They're so different. The brain that composes a
right.
poem, I think, is not the brain that composes a short story, and the brain that composes a short story is not the one that composes a novel. You just think differently. When you're writing poems, you're thinking in terms of the line. when you're writing short stories, maybe it's the paragraph.
Right.
And it enlarges. Maybe when you're writing a novel, you're thinking in terms of the chapter, something like that. And what we know is that the lyric impulse is to freeze the moment and make it immutable. I thought of myself, I still think of myself as a lyric poet, though I haven't written a poem in about 15 years. And fiction is all about the passage of time and those things that occur over time. So it's an entirely different medium. And I wrote poems and only poems for about 25 years before I got a sabbatical. I think it was in 1982 when I promised myself that if I finished that project, I would make a conscious departure and try something that I had never tried before. And that's when I started writing prose. Okay. And the short stories at that time were very small, mini fiction, micro fiction, you know, those condensed versions of that had no dialogue, et cetera. That felt to me more like poems, but they were written in sentences rather than in lines. And then gradually my comfort length in stories became about 18 or 20 pages. And, you know, that was, and naturally it was predictable at that time that that I might write something longer, which I did. And the last three books I've written have been novels.
So you've enjoyed writing that a little more lately than poetry, or do you kind of go back and forth sometimes between the two?
My wife asks me all the time if I think there'll come a point where I'll reverse direction and go all the way back the other way,
right,
and write poems. And the last novel took me 5 years, and it fatigued me. It was the most grueling thing I've ever done, most grueling literary thing I've ever done. And so I'm back writing short stories now, and that shorter form, at least right now at this juncture, feels really good.
That's good. You often write about troubled marriages and family relationships. What is it about these topics that you find so appealing or interesting to write about?
Yeah, well, you're right. I mean, family is wonderfully interesting to me. I think all families are dysfunctional at some level, and what we know about fiction is that what compels readers is trouble. And so, you know, I'm writing about people in trouble. But more so than, families, yes, but more so, I think the relationship between fathers and sons, and I don't mean to signal this as a singular wellspring. It's not the only thing I've ever written about, but it has been an ongoing obsession, and this new novel has extended the father-son relationship to make it generational. In that, I'm talking about grandfathers, fathers, and sons. And that's really been my focus. And I think the new novel, at least I hope in the new novel, that you know, maybe I visited this thing for the last time. I don't know. We'll see.
It'll be interesting, I'm sure. You often bring in the environment in those stories as well. So how has living and working in Michigan influenced your writing?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. That's a great question. I'm not from here.
Right.
I grew up among those pious Anglicans on the East Coast in Massachusetts, and I thought this was just a stopover. I was offered the job at Interlochen, and I was going to be there for as long as that held, or for as long as I stayed interested. And it turned out to be one of those magical things. Shortly after I arrived, I knew that was the place I wanted to be. And there's a wonderful writer from Indiana named Scott Russell Sanders who says that he wants to make the home place the place of his imagination. And I feel absolutely that way. Everything that I have come to be as a writer and a teacher has happened there in northern Michigan. And so place is ultimately important to me. I don't see it just as a backdrop for the action. I see place as a character in the same way that when I read Dickens, for example, I'm thinking about London as a character. It's not just the place in which the action occurs. It is it's a way of understanding everything that occurs in the novel, the behavior of the characters, the themes that are enacted, etc. All of it. So I'm a place person.
So do you consider yourself now then more a writer, or do you consider yourself a teacher now too, or kind of a mixture of both?
Yeah, well, that's what I am. I'm both. I'm a writer and a teacher. Sometimes I'm a teacher first and a writer second and vice versa. And I love teaching. It's an exhausting thing to do. I would like to believe that I teach honorably, which means that I put a lot of time and preparation into all of my classes. And I think it was Borges who said that he was more proud. I think it was Borges. I'm not sure even as I said that. But he said that he was more proud of the books that he had read than the books that he had written.
Oh,
and the students, the writing students, the writing majors, going back to 1975 when I first arrived, would now be in their mid-40s, and so books are starting to come out. And I can say this, I can amend that phrase in this way, that I am more proud of the books that my students have written than the books that I've written. And that's true. I am a bibliophile. I have a private library of about 5,000 or 6,000 books, and I would trade them all for that shelf that is made up of the books of my students. So I think of myself as a teacher. I don't think it's just something I do to put gas in the car. I really do love teaching, but it is exhausting.
It's very true. That's wonderful. You can read those now. You talked a little bit about your upcoming works, but what can we expect from you in the near future in new works?
Well, as I mentioned, I'm back to short stories, which I haven't written for about 12 years. I'm so single-minded. I'm not the kind of guy who can juggle 5 or 6 different chainsaws or bean bags or whatever they may be. If I concentrate on one thing, I have the feeling that I can do that well. And I haven't written poems in all this time. I haven't written short stories since I turned to novels. And now that I finished this last novel, it just feels good to be working in shorter forms. It feels like something I've been trying to get back to for a while. So that's what I'm doing. And I'm promising myself that I will write a short story per month until I start back teaching full-time at the end of January, which if I can, if it holds true, will mean 4 short stories before then. Wow. And that'll be good. So that's what I'm up to.
Well, we look forward to reading them hopefully in the future. Thank you very much, Jack, for participating in the MSU Libraries Michigan Writer Series, and good luck with your reading tonight.
Thanks very much.